Let's try to pick up where we left off yesterday. If you remember, yesterday's gospel was that sad story of what happened in Nazareth. Jesus went to the synagogue, made a statement of his own mission. The people were at first attracted to him and then before long rejected him and then turned against him violently and tried to throw him over a cliff. So our last impression of Nazareth leaves a pretty bad taste in our mouth. Something's wrong with Nazareth. Jesus went through the midst and walked away. So there's this experience of resistance to Jesus, resistance to the kingdom of God, rejection of the proclamation of the gospel. This is part of the phenomenon that Jesus experienced and what we ourselves experience. In today's readings, we have more strange passages about resistance. In the first reading, there's the case of David. His own son has rebelled against him and has gathered a rebellion. And David is fleeing the city. And then there's this man, a relative of Saul, who's throwing stones at David and cursing him and throwing dirt at him. And we say, what's going on here? This David is the anointed king, chosen by God, and seems like everybody's turned against him. And then we have in the gospel, Jesus driving out thousands of demons, and the result is that the town begs Jesus to go away. Again, another example of resistance to what God is doing, right? The salvation that he's proposing. So I think this is an indication that the liturgy is inviting us to reflect on this phenomenon of resistance to God, resistance to the kingdom of God, resistance to Jesus Christ himself. And it's good to reflect on this because we experience it both in the world and in ourselves. The traditional way of describing this resistance or of categorizing it is that the opponents to the establishment of God's kingdom are the world, the flesh, and the devil. You probably heard that triad of opponents, the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's a pretty good way of summarizing what is against God. Now, we have to understand that it's not to be taken absolutely literally. It's not the world that God created that is opposed to him. The world is good. God loves the world. When we say the world in this sense, we're talking about that aspect or that dimension of the world that is opposed to God. That's precisely why we put it in this together with the flesh and the devil. There is in the world elements that reject the reign of God. When we talk about the flesh, we're not talking about the body, because again, the body is good, made as a reflection of God. Jesus himself had a body, so we're not against the body, but the flesh in this sense is whatever in us is resistant to God, including sins which are seemingly not very bodily at all, like pride. That's all the flesh. And then there's the more obvious one, the devil, and it's pretty clear that the devil is Satan, but it doesn't mean only Satan, it means everybody who's in league with Satan, and there are thousands of them, as we can see from today's gospel. In fact, countless evil spirits roam about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Now these three, the world, the flesh, and the devil, they're not mutually exclusive, they're all interconnected. When we're talking about the world, first of all, you know the world. Just go anywhere or read any news report and you see something about the world and its disorders. Just stand in any line at any grocery store or any government office and you'll see people corrupt, trying to cheat, and people trying to bribe, and people trying to get their way or trying to budge in line or whatever. There's always somebody angling for himself, and that's the world. It's not people united to build up the kingdom of God. It's people divided, opposed. Just look at the political situation everywhere in the world. Politics is the world, and everybody's against everybody, and everybody wants to establish their own reign. Nobody trusts anybody else, and that's the world. But I say it's not mutually exclusive, because the world is in us too, and we are worldly people when we behave like that. When we think about the flesh, of course, we're thinking about selfish desires, the desire to dominate, the desire to control, the desire to have pleasure, more pleasure, the desire to be esteemed by others, human respect. It's all the flesh. But that's operating in the world too, because it's the world and the flesh are definitely interconnected. And then the devil, who is more clever than the world and the flesh, and the devil is brilliant about exploiting dynamics in the world and exploiting our own weaknesses. So this is what we're up against. Now, I mention this partly because you can almost label these three scripture passages according to this. You could say that yesterday's uprising against Jesus was the world. You can see that this man Shimei as the flesh, and you can see in today's gospel the devil. Obviously, the devil, the legion, is in the company of the devil. So yesterday, the world, well, that was the people of Nazareth. They were gathered in the synagogue, thinking that they're very holy, and Jesus comes along and reads the scriptures, and they're really impressed. And then all of a sudden, he starts talking about the ways of God, God honoring outsiders, foreigners, and how prophets are not accepted in their own territory by their own people. And all of a sudden, the people of Nazareth start saying, wait a minute, we don't like this. We don't like hearing this. This is not the way we want it to be. And we don't have to put up with this. That's a worldly attitude. The world wants things to be the way it wants. Not submission to God, but in control, dominating the game. So those people of Nazareth are expressions of the world. The flesh, you can see in Shimei, this man, he's all bent out of shape. He's angry, he's resentful. He can't accept that Saul has and his family have been defeated and that David has been raised up, and he can't see that the hand of God is in this contradictory experience, and he just won't. He's full of anger, fierce anger, cursing. He's in a rage. He's actually irrational. If you want to see how the flesh dominates people, when the flesh is in charge, reason is not in charge. So here he is throwing stones at fully armed soldiers. What does he think is going to happen? Of course, one of the soldiers says, who is it, Abishai or one of these? Yeah, Abishai says, well, let me just cut off this guy's head. I mean, here's an unarmed man throwing rocks at a group of soldiers. Something wrong with the guy. Well, that's the flesh. When the flesh is in charge, there's something wrong with us. We think that our pursuit of pleasure or our desire to be in control is good. It's foolishness. It's a kind of insanity. The flesh is not dominated by reason. And that's why the right response to the flesh is to put it in its place. By self-denial, by the power of the will, say this, I'm going to do what's right, not what I feel like, but what's the right thing to do. Then there's the devil. I mean, there's no better description of what the devil does than by looking at this possessed man, hanging around the tombs, smashing things, hitting himself with stones, crying out day and night. This is what the devil would like to do to everybody, but he can't. But he would like to make everybody self-destructive. He's a divider, he's a liar, he's a murderer. But he's no idiot. I mean, he doesn't just do things randomly. He's very deliberate, careful about how to bring people down. After the man, the possessed man is set free, the spirits enter the swine. Now, normally, evil spirits are not that interested in animals. What what seems to be happening here is their desire is to remain in that territory. And that does happen. Evil spirits tend to work in certain places. And they get the permission of Jesus to enter the swine. Jesus says, okay. Now, Jesus is not submitting to their will. He's using their evil desires to expose them to us, saying, well, look, at this is what evil spirits do. What happens to the swine? They kill themselves. They drown themselves. It's, again, self-destruction. That's what evil spirits do. They themselves are not harmed by it. They can't die. But they can bring death and destruction to those who submit to them. So the swine are just, I mean, they're irrational. They're just being used to put on display what happens when evil is in charge. And then the people of the town seem to have been filled with this evil spirit, and they are intent on getting rid of Jesus. They're not throwing him over a cliff. They're a little bit too frightened to do that because they see how powerful he is, but they plead with him, they beg him to leave their district. You see the influence of evil to rise up against Jesus, to tell Jesus to go away? That's the worst thing you can do. Jesus, who has come as the Savior, the one who sets us free from evil and from sin and from death, and telling him to go away, it's a kind of insanity. Well, that's the devil. The devil never wants to submit to the authority of Jesus. Okay, now we see this on display. What do we do about this? This could be very intimidating to see how powerful the world, the flesh, and the devil are. When it comes to the world, you can see in yesterday's gospel how Jesus deals with it. He just walks away. He does not submit himself to the world. He's in the world, but he's not of the world. And this is an instruction to us. We're in the world. We have to deal with, you know, the government. We have to deal with neighbors. We have to deal with business we encounter corruption at every turn, even in families. There's sometimes underhanded maneuvers and this sort of thing. But we don't have to participate in that. We just walk away from it. We don't have to be tainted by it. That's what Jesus says. Don't submit yourself to the ways of the world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. We belong to God. So if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to follow him out of Nazareth. Just walk away from it. Don't participate in it. Don't talk with that. It's not a violent rejection. It's just a separation. That's what Jesus taught us yesterday, how to deal with the world. How to deal with the flesh? Well, this is what we learned from David in today's first reading. David submits himself to this crazy character by entrusting himself to God. You see, the flesh rises up in lots of crazy ways. All we have to do is listen to our own inner voices and the temptations. We say, well, we come up with a lot of stupid ideas. Oh, you could eat all this, you could go to all these places, you could go to these people, you could whatever, go online, you could try to influence so-and-so. Well, that's not the way. Submit yourself to God. David says, okay, well, let's just let this thing happen. He's not agreeing with Shimei. He's not letting Shimei determine what he's going to do or where he's going to go. He's still on his journey, but he's not going to stop the guy. He's just going to keep going. And when it comes to the flesh, a lot of what we have to do is simply ignore it. It's like a child, an insistent child demanding, you know, its candy or whatever. You say, well, okay, just be quiet for a moment. You don't have to slap the child, but you don't let the child run the family. Okay, later. So self-denial. This is where fasting comes in, by the way. Fasting or any kind of self-denial is a disciplining of our own flesh. And that's necessary if we're going to make any progress in the Christian life. It takes humility. David is, humbly accepts that there's disorders and that he's going to be blamed and going to have stones thrown at him. And he says, okay, well, maybe God, let's just let God work that out. Okay, the will of the flesh. The devil, this could be the most frightening of all, because obviously the devil is way more powerful than we are. And if we drive out one demon, seven more will come. You know these stories. Well, it is frightening unless we realize that for Jesus, the power of the devil is nothing. It's no problem at all. He can drive out 2,000 demons if he wants to. 1, 2,000, 100,000. Jesus has absolute authority over the spirit world. So if we belong to him, if we are submitted to him, we do not have to fear the devil. We have to have a certain respect for his extraordinary power. We don't play around with evil or open ourselves in any way to evil spirits. That's important. But we don't have to live in fear of them either because of Jesus Christ. Actually, what we're to be is something like this possessed man after he's set free. He wants to do this, and Jesus says, no, go home, tell the good news to your family, and he does it. And he's a very effective evangelist because he knows he himself has been set free. So we don't have to be intimidated by the world, the flesh, and the devil, but we do have to know that these opponents to the kingdom exist. They're at work in us, in the world. They're very powerful, but Jesus is more powerful. The power of God at work in us, it establishes in us and through us his reign in the world. And for this, we can give praise to God.